Today, I'll be talking about Joseph in prison. Some background. You will recall that Potiphar's wife framed Joseph for taking advantage of her. And as a result, Joseph was thrown into prison by Potiphar. So we move on from here. And what happened in the next scene was that the king's butler and baker were also thrown into prison together with Joseph. So let me read Genesis 41:4. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. So these two officers of the king offended Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was very angry with them. And he threw these two persons into jail, same jail as Joseph. And he put them in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. So the captain of the guard put the two persons, the butler and the baker, into the prison, and Joseph was to manage these two prisoners. So you see here the picture. These two seated are the butler and the baker, and Joseph was managing these two prisoners. Of course, Joseph himself was a prisoner, but he was sort of upper prisoner. He was made in charge of the lower prisoners. And then the butler had a dream. So let me read to you the dream in scripture. Verse 9 to 15. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me." So there was a vine. A vine, you know, as you know, is a plant that produces grapes for making into wine. So you see that picture there shows a plant, yeah? And there are grapes growing from the plant. So that plant is called a vine. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. So there were three branches in the vine, and it budded, and then grapes came out from the vine plant. And then, yeah, it was ripe grapes. And the Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. So there you have it. The hand was the hand of the butler. He pressed the grape, and the juice went into the Pharaoh's cup, and then he gave the cup to Pharaoh. That was the butler's dream. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. So basically, good news for the butler in the interpretation. Pharaoh is going to restore the butler to his former position as an officer beside Pharaoh. So basically, butler will be released from jail in 3 days' time. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. So, of course, Joseph is also very clever. He tried to ask the butler to think of him when he's out with Pharaoh, and so that Pharaoh can act kindly towards Joseph and release Joseph from the prison. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So the reason he gave the butler was he was kidnapped from Canaan, land of Hebrews, and he has done nothing wrong. And yet now he's thrown into prison, into the dungeon. So there you are, you know, he of course, Joseph, tried to get butler's help because he knows the butler is going to be released, and butler reports to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh can do something to get Joseph out of jail. So if you look at this, the dream and the interpretation, yeah, let me just summarize the dream here. Butler saw a vine. Vine is a plant that will give grapes, which in turn is used for making wine. On the vine were three branches. It budded, blossomed, and ripened into grapes. The butler squeezed grapes into the Pharaoh's cup. So that was the dream. And Joseph's interpretation was the three branches were 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh would restore the butler to his former position. So very good news for the butler. And of course, after that, Joseph tried to enlist butler's help to get him out of jail. So next, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. So the baker also had a dream, and after he heard the good news of the interpretation for the butler, he also wanted Joseph to interpret his dreams. And he said he had 3 baskets on his head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. So basically, and let me just read on, yeah? And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree. And the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Not very good news. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. So there was this big feast after 3 days, and Pharaoh lifted up the heads of the butler and the baker. Of course, the word lifted up the heads has different meanings here for the butler and the baker. Meaning, he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. That's the meaning of lifted up the head of the butler. His position was restored. And he gave the cup into the Pharaoh's hand. So the butler resumed his duty of giving the Pharaoh's his cup of wine. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. So the meaning of lifting up the head of the baker was that his head was hung. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Okay. So there you are. 2 different dreams, yet very different interpretation. So the baker's dream was that there were 3 baskets on his head. In the top basket were all kinds of baked food for Pharaoh. The birds were eating them out of the basket on baker's head. And the interpretation by Joseph was the 3 baskets equals 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift off the baker's head and hang him on the tree. And the birds shall eat away his flesh. So very distressing interpretation for the baker that he's going to be executed 3 days' time. Yeah. And so, and it actually came to pass, yeah, as we read on in scripture, that the Pharaoh's Pharaoh fulfilled Joseph's interpretation. of the two dreams. The Pharaoh restored the butler to his former position, and the butler continued to give Pharaoh the cup for his drink, but the baker he executed. And after being restored by Pharaoh, the butler very quickly forgot about Joseph, forgot Joseph's request to ask the Pharaoh to release Joseph. So what are the spiritual lessons here? A, despite being thrown into prison, God was with Joseph. He was put in charge of all the prisoners. God may also be with us in whatever low position we occupy, and we will be blessed in our work. You recall, at first, God was with Joseph, and Joseph served Potiphar, and his position rose from a slave to an attendant to Potiphar, and upwards to the one in charge of Potiphar's house. And then he was thrown into prison. And God was still with Joseph in prison. And he was put in charge of all the prisoners. And you read that the guard of the prison just relied on Joseph to do everything. And he doesn't have to bother with the management of the prisoners because he trusted Joseph. He saw that everything he did was successful, and Joseph had integrity. So that he had no problem with trusting Joseph in what Joseph is going to do. So it is the same with us. We can be in a high position in our place of work or in a low position in a place of work. Whatever position, we will be blessed if God is with us. Yeah? Same as Joseph. Joseph did not blame God for being thrown into jail on a false charge. He continued to be faithful to God. In the same way, there will be setbacks in our lives. We must bear the setbacks and continue to be faithful. So you remember, at first, he was happy in a family with Jacob. Suddenly, he was thrown into the pit by his brothers and then sold as a slave to the Ishmaelite slave traders and then sold to Potiphar. All these terrible events that came upon Joseph, he never sort of turned his back to God and said, there is no God. Why do I have to be faithful to a God that doesn't help me? That doesn't protect me from all the setbacks of life. Yeah? But no, he was very faithful to God. He continued to obey God. He continued to walk close to God despite all the setbacks. And even when he was thrown into jail, he continued to be faithful to God. So in the same way, there will be setbacks in our lives, and we must bear the setbacks and continue to be faithful, just as Joseph was faithful. Of course, the reason why this all happened to Joseph will come to light later on as I go through the scripture and explanation. In prison, he continued to do good as a faithful servant of God. He assisted in the interpretation of the butler and baker's dreams. This led to the important connection with Pharaoh later. So in the same way, where we are able to help others, we should do so too. We will never know how God will bless us for helping others later. So let us move on. The butler soon forgot Joseph. So you recall Joseph helped the butler and gave an interpretation of the dream to the butler, which was good news, and that he's going to be released in 3 days' time and restored to his former position of being a high officer of Pharaoh. And Joseph wanted butler to bring his matter up to Pharaoh so that he can be released, being an innocent person, being wrongly convicted. But butler forgot Joseph. Isn't this true in this world today, that despite our help to people around us, some people may forget us, forget to help us in return. But God doesn't forget. And since God remembers us, that is good enough for us. Yeah? Because God is Almighty, Sovereign God. He doesn't forget. And he knows His will is perfect. And He has a good outcome for us. So if God doesn't forget us, He will help us. So Don't put your trust on man, put your trust in God. So this is what happened in Joseph. He, of course, he, from a human point of view, he hoped the butler could bring his matter to the Pharaoh and Pharaoh would release him. But God had higher plans. Yeah? So it didn't work with men, but it was God who finally provided the way out for Joseph. And that, of course, worked. So what was that way? We go on to Pharaoh's dream now. That is found in Genesis chapter 41, 1-14. Let me read Pharaoh's dream. So the background was, Butler was released, Baker was executed, and Butler completely forgot about Joseph. Forgot to, and of course, didn't bring up Joseph's issue to the Pharaoh. Chapter 41, Genesis verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So 2 full years later, meaning that Joseph would have been in prison for more than 2 years, could be quite many years by then. And then after 2 full years, when the butler has been released, Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. 7 cows, 7 fat cows feeding in a meadow. Okay. And behold, 7 other kine came up out after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. The word kine is means a cow. So after Pharaoh saw the 7 fat cows feeding, he saw another 7 cows coming out of the river, very thin, very malnourished, and standing by the side of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. Okay, so Pharaoh saw in his dream the 7 thin and scrawny cows ate up the 7 fat cows. And then Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, ranked and good. Behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 ranked and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. So the second dream, Pharaoh saw 7 grains, fat grains on a stalk. And then he saw another 7 grains thin, very thin. And these 7 thin grains ate up the 7 fat grains. And then Pharaoh awoke from the second dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them for unto Pharaoh. So see, God put these 2 dreams into Pharaoh, and Pharaoh woke up the next day, very troubled by the 2 dreams. And he tried to get interpretation from all the magicians and all the wise men in Egypt and couldn't come up with an interpretation. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. So finally, because of this Pharaoh's dream, butler remembered that, Joseph interpreted his dream. And Pharaoh was wroth with the servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. So now the butler is relating his story to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh was angry with him and the baker and threw him and the baker into the prison. And we dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. So he went on with his story to Pharaoh that both He and the baker each had a dream and went to Joseph for interpretation. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard, and we told him that he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. There you go. He told Pharaoh that Joseph interpreted each of their dreams. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. So Joseph's interpretation was true. He told Pharaoh that in the case of himself, the baker, he was restored by Pharaoh. The butler was restored to his former office. But the baker, Pharaoh hanged. Then Pharaoh said and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. So of course Pharaoh was very excited. Here is a man, a prisoner in his own prison, that he could count on to interpret his dream. And well tested by the butler and the baker, both their dreams were accurately interpreted. And so Joseph was summoned to the Pharaoh, and Joseph had to quickly shave himself, change his clothing, and came before Pharaoh. Okay? And so what happened next? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Pharaoh told Joseph he had a dream, and he understands that Joseph can interpret dreams. And what was Joseph's reply? It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph immediately gave the glory to God. It is not me who interpret dreams. God shall give Pharaoh an answer. That is very important, huh? To give glory to God, because Joseph knows that naturally God provides the interpretation. Joseph is merely the channel through which the interpretation comes out. So let us move on. So there you are. This is just a picture diagram of the Pharaoh telling Joseph his two dreams. You see the seven cows here, the fat cows, and then seven thin cows came along and ate up the seven fat cows. Yes. And then here you have the grains on the stalk. Yeah, there are seven grains, seven fat grains, and the seven thin grains came along and ate up the seven fat grains. So these are the two dreams of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's dreams and Joseph's interpretation. Okay, let me continue to read. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. Chapter 41, verse 17. And behold, there came up out of the river seven cows, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. So after seven fat cows, Pharaoh saw seven thin cows, hungry-looking, came out of the river. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kine. The seven thin cows ate up the seven fat cows. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. After the seven thin cows ate up the seven fat cows, they were just as thin. And then Pharaoh awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. Second dream, seven good grains came up in one stalk. Behold, seven ears withered, thin and blasted in the east wind, sprung up after them. After the seven good grains came up, there were seven withered and thin grains that came up. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. The seven thin grains ate up the seven fat grains, and no magicians can interpret the meaning of the dreams to Pharaoh. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. So Joseph said, these two dreams are the same. Yeah. And God is showing Pharaoh what is God about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, 7 years. And the seven good years are 7 years. The dream is one. So seven good cows and the seven good grains are 7 years. In time, 7 years, yeah? And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. So the seven thin cows are 7 years of famine. And the seven thin grains are 7 years of famine. They mean the same thing. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. So what happened next was, there will be 7 years of plenty throughout the whole land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following. For it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. So in summary, these two dreams are the same. Yeah? And it means that there will be 7 years of plenty. Plenty of food, plenty of richness and harvest in Egypt. Following, there will be 7 years of famine, where there will be no food, drought, animals will die, human beings will be hungry, and some will also die. Yeah. And the reason why there are two dreams are the same is because God wants to make it clear to Pharaoh that this will surely come to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of the Egypt in the seven plenteous years. So now Joseph is giving advice what to do. Joseph is very wise. Of course, wisdom came from God. Is that to pick a good man, a wise man, to rule over Egypt. And during the 7 years of plenty, tax one-fifth into the Pharaoh's coffer. That means 20% tax for all the harvest, all the profit, all the gains of the 7 years. 20% goes to Pharaoh. Let him gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. Let them keep food in the cities. So the 20% is to be reserved for the second 7 years when there will be famine. So when the famine comes, they have a little reserve, a lot of food, a lot of grain, a lot of profit, so that they can live on the reserve. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. So Pharaoh thought that was a good plan by Joseph, of course, coming from God. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So Pharaoh, can we find such a person who is wise and discreet and able to manage? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Nobody in Egypt is as wise as Joseph. and thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you, than thou. So Pharaoh now declares, you will take care and rule Egypt, and only Pharaoh will be greater than you. Nobody else is greater than you. So meaning Joseph now becomes number two in terms of power in Egypt. Number one is Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So basically Pharaoh, in terms of ceremony and all the splendor, power, put Joseph as number two. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephnaphineah, his Egyptian name. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handful. So Joseph was now ruling Egypt as number two. And during the 7 years, it was plentiful in Egypt. Plenty of harvest, plenty of richness, plenty of income. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. So Joseph took in that 20% of all the food, all the richness, and put them in the storehouses, in the reserve. Joseph gathered corn as sand of the sea very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. So the corn, the produce of the field, he gathered into the storehouses until he could not keep count of how much he had gathered, because it was so much, so plentiful, that he could not keep up with the accounting. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. So Joseph had 2 sons. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. So the thought of his setbacks was still very fresh in his mind. The setbacks in Egypt, how he was thrown and into a pit and then sold as a slave in Egypt, and how he was thrown into prison, and many setbacks, including his memory of Jacob, his father. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Interesting, because out of affliction, he became fruitful. In other words, he remembered his setbacks, and out of all the setbacks that he had, he is now successful. He is now fruitful. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. So 7 years of plenty ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. Dearth was in all lands. And in all the lands of Egypt, there was bread. Yeah. So there was famine in the next 7 years. But in the land of Egypt, there was bread because of the wisdom of storing the first 7 years of food and plenty. And all the land of Egypt was famished. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. So we see the fulfillment of Joseph's interpretation coming true. Egypt was also struck by famine, but all the storehouses were full. And of course, the Egyptian started to feel the famine because there was no food in the open. So they cried out to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said, go and see Joseph. Because by now, Pharaoh knows God is with Joseph. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. So people, the Egyptians, came to Joseph for food. And Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold the food to the Egyptians. Because the famine in Egypt was very bad. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn because that the famine was so sore in all lands. So all the people from other countries also came to Egypt to buy food, buy corn, because the famine was so bad that all other countries were also very badly affected by the famine. So here we come to the narrative. So very quickly, if I may summarize again Pharaoh's dream. So you look at this chart here. There were two dreams by Pharaoh. The first dream was seven fat cows feeding in the meadow. Then seven thin and scrawny cows came up and ate up the seven fat cows. After eating, the seven thin cows looked just as thin as before. Okay, then Pharaoh had a second dream. Seven good grains growing on the stalk. Then sprouted seven withered and thin grains. The thin grains swallowed up the seven good grains. And then, of course, thereafter, Pharaoh became troubled by the two dreams. And then Joseph was summoned to interpret the dreams. And Joseph said the two dreams were the same. Seven good cows equals seven grains equals seven good years. Seven thin cows equal to the seven thin grains equals 7 years of famine. And in summary, there will be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And of course, after that, Joseph was made number two to plan and to execute to save Egypt and the land from the second 7 years of famine. So now I would like you to watch a video clip showing how Pharaoh summoned Joseph and Pharaoh relating his two dreams to Joseph and Joseph interpreting the dreams. And after that, Joseph was made prime minister to rule over Egypt and to prepare to save Egypt and the people around from the famine. Again, I'd like to caution you against inaccurate parts of the video. The speeches between characters are all made up by movie makers. Some of the events may not be that accurately portrayed as in the Bible, but by and large, the movie makers have tried to keep the story intact according to the events in the Bible. So I would caution you to be discerning and to what you do is you should know the Bible, read scripture, and then pack the events and the speeches in the movie to the Bible. The Bible is the gold standard. Yeah, okay. Let me go to the movie now.
In the morning, the two dreams troubled him so much, he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt to explain what the dreams had meant. But none of them could interpret the dreams. It was then that the chief cupbearer remembered Joseph. He told Pharaoh about the young Hebrew slave in prison who could interpret dreams. Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And when Joseph appeared before him, Pharaoh said, I hear you can interpret dreams. Joseph again explained that his power to interpret dreams came from the Lord. It is not I, he said. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then Pharaoh said, I dreamed I was standing on the banks of the Nile and saw seven sleek fat cows grazing on the reeds, and seven gaunt, thin, starving cows came up and ate the seven fat cows. In my second dream, I saw seven ears of grain, full and good, growing on one stalk, and seven ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouting after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the good ears. And Joseph explained, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There are 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And after them, there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten. The famine will consume the land. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Then Joseph told Pharaoh that he should appoint a wise and discreet man and make him overseer of all the land. This man would have the power to take one-fifth of all the grain during the 7 years of plenty and stockpile it to be used during the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh thought that would be a good idea, and he also believed that Joseph was the perfect man for the job. He took off his signet ring and placed it on Joseph's finger. And he gave him Asenath, the daughter of a high priest, to be his wife. Joseph was 30 years old, and at that time, with the exception of Pharaoh himself, there was no one in Egypt more powerful.
Right, we've seen the video. Now, some comments regarding the events that passed. Through his imprisonment, Joseph was connected to Pharaoh because of his ability to interpret dreams. So you recall, he was thrown into prison, and in prison he met the butler and the baker. And then through the butler, he was connected to Pharaoh because Joseph could interpret dreams, as Pharaoh had two dreams. This divine ability to interpret dreams was God's blessing. Joseph was faithful and obedient to God despite being falsely accused and imprisoned. So you recall that Joseph had this many setbacks. Even before he was thrown into prison, he was thrown into the pit so that a slave became a slave for Potiphar. And not only when things start to brighten up and he was elevated to being in charge of Potiphar's household, he was framed for taking advantage of Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison again. But yet Joseph remained faithful and obedient to God despite all the false accusation and the imprisonment that he has suffered. And God, because Joseph remained faithful and obedient, God continued to be with Joseph in prison. And Joseph was favored, became in charge of the prisoners, and able to continue and able to interpret dreams, and also the dreams of the two officers of Pharaoh. And God's objective for Joseph to save Jacob and family from famine in Canaan. Right? There came a series of setbacks for Joseph, which ultimately connected him with Pharaoh. Joseph became prime minister of Egypt and saved Jacob and family. So naturally, we see that Joseph's life was like a roller coaster. It goes up and down, up and down. And if I do not know the ending, and I look at Joseph's life, and I'll say, poor thing. Why is Joseph going through so much suffering? To no fault of his. And if, where is God? Why is he praying to a God that doesn't help him? That would be in my mind, and I'm sure many of yours, if you do not know the ending. Yeah? Because God's way are a mystery, and with the benefit of hindsight, we know God was preparing Joseph to become prime minister of Egypt so that as prime minister, he could save Jacob, his father and family, from the famine in Canaan. So let us analyze the events in Jacob's and in Joseph's lives by this roller coaster chart. Okay? First, Joseph went to look for his brothers because Jacob told him to do so. So he went. And then after finding his brothers threw him into a pit. Because Joseph was a favorite son and the brothers hated him. And then shortly sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelite slave traders. So from the pit, he went further down as a slave and was sold as a slave in Egypt, very far away from Canaan in those days. Yeah. And just as his life became better, he was thrown into prison for taking advantage of Potiphar's wife, which of course was a trumped-up charge by Potiphar's wife. Yeah? So as Joseph, you will wonder what was going in his mind when he's suffering from all the setbacks. First thrown into the pit, sold as a slave. So, okay, yes, he continued to be faithful and obedient. And then he was favored by Potiphar and suddenly getting a couple of promotions to be in charge of Potiphar's household. He was still obedient and faithful to God and then suddenly thrown into prison for a trump-up charge of taking advantage of Potiphar's wife. So you would thought that Joseph must have been quite upset and wondering, what is happening? I obey you. I am faithful to you. And I even turned myself from Potiphar's wife when she wanted me. And yet I am thrown into prison for doing all the good. Not only doing good to people, but being faithful to God in not succumbing to sin. Yeah? You recall what Joseph said when Potiphar wanted Joseph? Joseph said, why would I do this and sin against God? Why would I do this wickedness of sleeping with Potiphar's wife and sin against God? Evidently, sinning against God was very, Joseph was very conscious of his action, that he would not sin against God because he has so much faith and obedience to God that whatever he does, he measures it with God's laws of what is right. And that's why God blessed him. And yet he was thrown into prison. So at the back of Joseph's mind, he never thought that it was part of God's plan for him to be thrown into prison and there come across the butler. Subsequently, the butler connects him to Pharaoh. That never occurred to Joseph. Okay? And God never told him. But then, look at the events. Joseph must take the setbacks as it comes without understanding what is ahead of him. And he complied. He never turned away from God. He never blamed God. He never threw a tantrum What is the use of believing and obeying God when I'm in all these trouble and suffering and pain? What is the point? Why can't I just sleep with Potiphar's wife and I will not get into trouble? If she doesn't tell and I don't tell, who's to know? That never crossed Joseph's mind. Because the very thought of sinning against God was distressing to Joseph. He would not do anything to sin against God, which is something very unusual. Because in this day and age, many people commonly think, oh, if I do a wrong, what if the authorities find out and take action against me? It is always the authorities find out and take action against me for my wrongdoing. It's never, oh, what if God finds out and what if God finds out of my wrongdoing? Of course, God knows that you have done a wrong because God is God. He knows. But it never crossed our mind that God knows our wrongdoing. It is always, what if the authorities found out and I'm charged in court and thrown into prison or charged or sentenced to a hefty fine? That is what we fear. But Joseph is very different. God is watching and he will have none of it. So that is where Joseph and the common people differ. Joseph is always thinking about God's reputation and he would not sin against God because he knows God stands for holiness and he must be holy before God. Okay. And so he would not have Potiphar's wife for that simple reason. Not that Captain Potiphar might find out and throw him into prison, which ultimately he was thrown into prison on the wrong charge. Even in prison, he never questioned God or never strayed away from God. He could have very well thought, so I put God first. I turned away from Potiphar's wife, and yet I was punished in prison. What's the point of obeying God? What's the point of keeping God's law and being upright before God? What's the point? He could very well have thought that way, but he didn't. And he was still faithful in prison. And that's why God continued to bless him even in prison. He was made in charge of all the prisoners, and the captain of the prison trusted him for his righteous conduct, for his integrity. He knows that he's responsible and he will not mess up the prison. He gave all the control, all the management to Joseph to look after all the prisoners. That speaks well of Joseph, that he never turned away from God, and God continued to bless him even in prison. Despite all the setback, despite all the trumped-up charges against him, Joseph was true to his faith, true to God, and never turned away, never doubted. And God continued to be with him. And Joseph never knew that it was God who wanted him to go through all this prison so that he would get connected to Pharaoh through the butler. And to make matters worse, he got to know the butler. He helped the butler in the interpretation of the dream. Butler was very happy with the good interpretation that he's going to be released and restored to his former position. And Joseph said, okay, please remember me and tell Pharaoh so that Pharaoh can release me because I'm innocent. Butler completely forgot Joseph. Again, it was a letdown. Joseph could have thought, look, what's the point? I'm left here to rot and perhaps even die in prison. Where is God, my supreme almighty God? Where is his protection for me? No, Joseph was continued to be faithful. And God continued to bless him, was with him, protected him in many other ways. And Finally, God intervened. Pharaoh had a dream, and Butler remembered Joseph because Pharaoh had a dream. He had a similar dream. He had a dream also, not a similar dream, but his dream was interpreted, fulfilled. And so he told Pharaoh that he had a dream which was fulfilled and accurately interpreted by Joseph. And Pharaoh summoned Joseph to interpret his dreams. And Joseph then was made prime minister of Egypt. So what do we learn about all this? The life of Joseph, how he behaved, how he continued to be faithful despite all the severe setbacks in life. Not easy to retain your faith and to be faithful in light of the terrible pain and suffering that Joseph went through. Spiritual lessons. Setbacks in our lives may be the opening of new opportunity. Look at Joseph's imprisonment. He had a big setback, many setbacks, ending in prison and then imprisoned, but got to know the butler. And then after that, butler forgot about him. Subsequently, because of Pharaoh's dream, butler remembered, and he got connected with Pharaoh and then became prime minister of Egypt. Of course, God had that result for Joseph all the time. Yeah. But how would Joseph know? How would we know? How would we look at our own setbacks in our own lives? How would we know going forward? What has God in store for us? Is there a new opportunity? Are there new openings after I'm sacked from my job, after I left my job? It may come to pass because I would like to share with you this verse. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Proverbs 20:24. Man's goings are of the Lord. Our life, our purpose, our activities are all controlled by God. He plans, He executes what we will experience in our life. How can we understand our own way? We can't, because our own way, our ways, are all prescribed by God. The people we meet, the events we come across, the suffering that we are going to be afflicted with, together with the suffering, the goodness that we will experience, and sometimes also the bad events, how we are taken advantage by people around us, people at the workplace, how we maybe we have to leave a present job that we like. All these are man's goings, and they are controlled by God. And we do not understand why it is like this. How can a man understand his own way? Because it is God who is in charge, who foreordains all the circumstances, all the events in your life, all decided by God, and we can't understand it. Let me explain to you, let me share with you my two personal setbacks and restoration. In a previous job, there was changes at the very top. Chairman, new chairman came in, the old chairman left. New chairman changed the CEO. The CEO changed the top management team. So a lot of people had to resign. And of course, how do they get the management to resign? They make life difficult for you. So I was under a lot of pressure to perform. Gave me a lot of work. No problem. Work is no problem with me. I'll do it. Yeah. But what is difficult to bear is the constant ranting and scolding. So for me, that would be difficult because it affected my mental well-being. With all the scolding and harsh words, insomnia set in, difficult to sleep at night. So it was a terrible time for me. And of course, I saw my colleagues all resigning one after another. It was a very big push factor, and I had to go and I tendered my resignation. That this occasion happened more than 10 years ago. And on the date of my tendering of resignation, the news broadcasted global recession due to the Lehman Brothers scandal. Global recession. And I thought to myself, oh dear, what a bad time to tender my resignation. Nobody resigned from a job when you're in recession. Everybody holds on to their job because you're not going to get a job in a time of global recession. And at that time, after I resigned, wife and I left for UK. My wife was on a sabbatical. I accompanied her, and it was the greatest time of my life. For more than half a year, I was free of responsibilities. I could go to the Meadowlands, countryside, cycling every other day. And I enjoyed myself thoroughly. I had no work. I had resigned from my job in Singapore. It was just a blessed time of rest, a time of recovery, a time to enjoy the lovely creation of God. As you know, the countryside in UK can be very lovely, and it's just, and the weather is also very beautiful. So that was how I enjoyed my time after I resigned. And do you know that because of global recession, all the prices of foodstuff in the grocery shop in the market all came down by up to 50%. So food, grocery shopping, many other things were very cheap in UK then. And it was a good time to spend in UK. And so I, even now, when I look back at that period of my life, I look back with great fondness. Yeah. How God gave me that period of life for refreshment. I think very few people can afford this luxury of having a long break from work and enjoy just living without the responsibility, without the mental stress that comes with work, and without accountability to the top. But I had that luxury, and I praise and thank God for it. So that was God's opportunity for me in light of the terrible experience I had in that particular workplace. After I came back, I went into employment again. It was a big organization. I didn't even know that it was a big organization when I went for the employment interview. And I realized, oh, wow, it's a big organization. And of course, as a big organization, their perks are there, and everything is, the offer is good. So I took up the offer, and lo and behold, another terrible employer. Because they are big, they are profitable, they wanted you to account. They wanted you to produce high deliverables. They expect high delivery of your services. And it was like a 24/7 job. Yeah. I get my BlackBerry. In those days, they give you a BlackBerry. And I thought, wow, first time I owned a BlackBerry. Never knew I that the BlackBerry was my slave driver. 9 p.m., I will get all the emails on my BlackBerry from my boss. 9 p.m., every night. So I stopped. I refused to answer the email. 10 p.m., I get an SMS. Why did I not respond to my BlackBerry? every night. And it was a terrible time in the company. So, second setback after my first one. And so, again, the work is not so bad, but it was, again, the fiery attack from the boss. Yeah. Every week, we had a weekly meeting, and there would be very strong, harsh words being used. So, again, the mental strain was there, and I had to go. It was another very strong push factor. And so I tendered my resignation. And for the next 6 months after having resigned, I rested again, restored myself. My health took a beating because of all the stress and the lack of sleep. And I recovered within 6 months. And I thought, oh, probably can't get a job anymore because I was already getting on in age. But God will have the last say. I had a phone call from a friend. And he says, oh, he hears it from the grapevine that I'm available to teach in NUS. And there you are. God provided new opportunity after the setback. And so here I am. 10 years on, I am teaching in NUS and I enjoy every part of it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. God, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It was God who wanted me out of my last employment. So he gave me a big push. He wanted me in this new appointment because it was a place that would fit me, given my academic interests and my enjoyment to interact with students, my own character, temperament would fit an academic life. Man's goings are of the Lord. How then could I understand that I was meant to be out of my last job so that I could join NUS? How could I understand? No, I couldn't understand. But with the benefit of hindsight now, all praise and glory to God. So here you are. Two major setbacks in my life and how God provided better opportunity and restoration for me. And might I say, it's just not myself alone. I see my loved ones as well, having gone through difficulty in life, strong push factor, and coming to a new beginning, a new place, a place that God has foreordained and is according to God's will. And everything works out to the praise and glory of God. So what is important, as I see here, is that God will be with us. God will help us. It is not that we will be free from trouble, because trouble is part of God's plan for us to grow in our faith in Him. So we will encounter trouble. We will encounter setback. We will go down. But God will prepare and bless you and restore you again. What is important is that we have to keep faith with God. Keep faith with God in the sense that you continue to have this close relationship with God and shun away from sin. Sin in the sense of habitual sin, sin which you know that will offend God, and continue to walk right with God. Things which offend God and are sinful, not right, you put away. And you serve God with a righteous heart. So continue to be faithful to God and serve God wherever God pleases you. And when God has blessed you, remember to give glory to God. You recall when questioned by Pharaoh whether Joseph could interpret dreams, Joseph said, "It is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph attributed the interpretation of dreams to God, not himself. Give God the glory. And he said, God shall give Pharaoh's desired answer. So it is the same with us. We have a lot to learn from Scripture when we are in position of blessing. It is not us. It is not me. It is God who bless. All praise and glory to God. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee for thy loving kindness to all of us. How thou hast set us up on high and bring us down to the depths of affliction. Whether we suffer from illness or from losing a job, losing an income, or losing loved ones or friends, meeting difficult colleagues, difficult bosses, having trouble at our work, having trouble with our friends, it is all man's going out of the Lord. You have planned and you are in control, and we just don't understand our way. But let us continue to be faithful and obedient to you, to steer away from all evil, from all sin, just as Joseph had done. Joseph knew not what thou hast for him, what thou hast installed for him, what thou hast planned for him. He knew not all the setbacks that thou hast put in place for him, but he knew the most important thing, to be faithful, obedient, and to shun away from evil. And because he did that, thou blessed him, thou restored him, and thou elevated him to the highest office so that he can save his family. So, Lord, we pray that we too, Lord, can continue to be faithful, obedient, and to shun all evil, so that you will continue to, or we can continue to abide in you and you in fellowship with us, that we will enjoy thy blessing, thy loving kindness. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.